Good evening. Before we get started, I would ask either one of you two, would you pray for this message? How about you, Greg? You want to come up?
Abba, Father, we just we come before you humbly, Lord. We come before you. Hopefully, Lord, you can just remove all of the things, the material things that dwell in our minds from the week, Lord, and speak to us, Lord. Nourish us spiritually through your word, Lord, because we can't get it anywhere else. You are the only nourishment that means anything in this life, Lord. And we would just pray that your word would speak to each one of us individually where we are in life, Lord, and that we would see your word come to life as it applies to our lives, Lord. Your saving word through Robert tonight as he shares the message with us tonight, Lord. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy, and for your love, and for your word, Lord. We pray this in the holy name of Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Thanks, Greg. The title of this message is The Third Commandment, Treating God as If He Doesn't Exist. And when I started it, I actually was working on we have this thing at the back called Scripture in a Year, and I wanted to fill up the last part of it. And so I started writing something for it, and so that's how I started this. So I apologize if this offends anyone. I hope, pray that it doesn't. But this is how it is that I would want to start any kind of brochure that would go to anybody else. But most of you, I don't think this applies to. But you understand ground rules, and so I want to start off with some. First, I ask that you entertain the idea that the creator of the universe not only exists, but is the supreme being. When I speak of God, that is of whom I am referring. Second, I ask that you entertain the idea that the entire Bible, both volumes of Jewish scriptures, the Tanakh, that is the Old Testament, and the Brit HaChadashah, that's the New Testament, were both written by inspiration of God. Third, when I am speaking of God, I ask that you understand that I am speaking of the God of Israel. And by Israel, I mean the people that are the descendants of the patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So I think most of you probably would agree with that. I'm going to start off with just reading the third command in Hebrew first, and then in the common translation of it. It goes like this. Lo tisa et shem Yehovah, Elohecha l'shav, ki lo yerakeh Yehovah et asher yisa et shemo l'shav. Generally rendered like this. This is from the English Standard Version. You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Does anyone know where the Ten Commandments are, by the way? Where in the Bible are the Ten Commandments? Anyone? Well, that is actually you're right. Deuteronomy is where they're reiterated. Where's the first place? Exodus 20. Thanks, Joanna. Now, the Hebrew you heard a minute ago, Lashav, that was the last word in the phrase there. Yisa et Shemo Lashav. Shav itself is a Hebrew word. Obviously, it's Hebrew. And it's usually translated as vain by most translators. In the dictionary, however, shav is defined as, I'm going to give you a long string here, each individual word, nothingness, vanity, inanity, falsehood, lying, vainness, sin, wickedness, calamity. And let's see, another form of the word is show, it's sheen, vav, aleph, is defined as a roaring, crashing, tumult, storm, tempest, destruction, desolation, ruin. I can see how the word shav may be translated as vain, but it is my opinion that most English-speaking people understand this commandment, and in context, the English word vain to mean to curse or to blaspheme. Does anyone agree or disagree with that? Yeah, okay. I think that that understanding betrays the true meaning of the commandment itself. And so I put a paraphrase together based on what I think it should. It's a paraphrase, not meant to mean a direct translation. But this is what I think it should mean. It's a little wordy, so bear with me. Again, I'll read the Hebrew. Lo tisa et shem Yehovah Elohecha l'shav ki lo Yehovah et asher yisa et shemo l'shav. You shall not treat the name of the Lord your God as if he does not exist, as if he is nothing. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that expresses the essence of his being, that acts out his life, as if God does not exist. And that's what I think it means. I believe the same thought is understood when we recite the words of the Shema every Shabbat. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Does anyone know where the Shema is found in the Scriptures? Which one? 6:4, right. Deuteronomy 6:4. Thank you, Joel. Did everybody know that? It's funny. That's an important passage. Most of us know it by heart, but I wonder if everybody knows where it is. Same with the Ten Commandments, you know. To further illustrate the point I would like to make, in the New Testament book of Mark, and if you want to follow along, it's in chapter 12, verses 28 to 34, Yeshua is asked about the most important commandment. And it goes like this. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Yeshua answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, well said, Rabbi, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Yeshua saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared ask him any question. Again, that's from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. If we consider the command about treating the name of the Lord as if he does not exist, then conversely, when we recite the Shema and declare that we essentially love the Lord our God with all our being, we are saying that he is everything to us. In essence, we are declaring that he encompasses all of our thought processes, our entire sense of being, every aspect of our lives, and that every decision we make is done as if we were in his divine presence, seeking his approval. If we understand the third commandment in this sense, we should consider how we are to behave when we are in the world. For example, if we join our co-workers in vulgar speech, if we let our fantasies run wild and we lust after a member of the opposite sex, God forbid, a member of the same sex, if we treat our loved ones with disrespect and all other such things, then we must consider that we are doing so as if we were in the presence of Almighty God and to his face, treating him as if he is nothing, as if he does not exist. The Apostle Paul says this, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34. Since we are commanded to love the Lord our God with the entire essence of our being, we must learn to control our thoughts and our thought processes as if they also are in the very presence of God and under the careful scrutiny of God. As I have been dwelling on giving this message, the thought occurred to me about standing in the presence of God at the final judgment. The idea came into my mind, will God judge me for my best behavior or for my worst behavior? Immediately, my thoughts carried me to a common scene. Most of you are familiar with this, driving on the freeway in the Boston area. How most everyone in the area drives as if there is no tomorrow. But when they come upon a law enforcement officer, everyone slows down and behaves as if that's the way they normally drive, showing courtesy and respect to others. Again, the thought comes to mind, will God judge us for our best behavior or for our worst behavior? The more I consider it, I believe we will be judged by our worst behavior. A couple of weeks ago, Bob Brass spoke to us about the battle for the mind. I encourage you to go to our website, and I'll just put a plug in for it, www.sarshalom.us, and go to the teachings link. And Bob's message is September 16, 2005. He said that we were in a battle whether we recognized it or not. Perhaps 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 6 captures some of that same sense. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of the Messiah, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And I just want to reiterate that little phrase, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of the Messiah. There are several other passages that express this thought, showing that by our actions, we can cause the name of God to be blasphemed. Speaking to King David, when he had sinned with Bathsheba and had her husband killed, Nathan the prophet made this statement, "Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." 2 Samuel 12:14a. Ezekiel 36:22 expresses the same concept. "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came." The Apostle Paul gives us the sense of this in Romans 2, verses 17 through 24. "Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the Torah, and make your boast in God, and know his will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the Torah, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and the truth of the Torah. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the Torah, do you dishonor God through breaking the Torah? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written." I look at all these things as expressing that God is very concerned with how we control our thought processes. It is my understanding that the thought processes manifest themselves in the way we treat others. In conclusion, I would like to again declare the third command, my paraphrase, a few select verses out of Philippians 3 and 4, and end with a doxology from the end of the book of Romans. Again, the Hebrew for verse 7 of Exodus 20. for the third commandment. Lo tisa et shem Yehovah Elohecha l'shav, ki lo yanake Yehovah et asher yisa et shemo l'shav. You shall not treat the name of the Lord your God as if he does not exist, as if he is nothing. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that expresses the essence of his being, that acts out his life as if God does not exist. Starting with Philippians 3, verse 1 through 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Messiah Yeshua, and have no confidence in the flesh. From verses 13 to 21 in the same chapter. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press forward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Messiah Yeshua. Therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of the Messiah, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Chapter 4, verse 1 of Philippians. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Messiah Yeshua. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Romans 16, verses 25 to 27. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my good news and the preaching of Yeshua HaMashiach, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now has been made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, has been made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise be glory through Yeshua HaMashiach forever. Amen.